it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Globe Life Field. The doors have opened. The excitement is already palpable here. But you know what I thought was really cool, Corey? And then I promise we are going to get into some scouting of the New York Football Giants is all of the people who work here, because it can be an odd experience. I know if you've ever worked in major athletics, like on the stadium crew or whatever, and you've been in the building when it's still the same giant building, but there's not really anybody here, it can be an odd experience. But all of the people who work here have been passing by, and they're like, hey, K&C, go Rangers and everything like that. There is a palpable feeling of excitement from the people who work here, and now that the doors have opened, obviously that excitement's going to build up leading to that Brewers finale.
Most of these people that you're talking about see 81 games.
Yes.
And so, like, they know the highs and lows. They know what a good team is, too. You know, and they, sure. and they know the difference between, you know, I'm watching, you know, occasionally, and I'm watching every single day. And right. Their hearts are with this thing, man.
Sure.
They know when the crowd goes insane, and they're right there with them. I know, like, you were just talking to a couple of Atolos,
yes.
And they were like, I couldn't do some of these jobs because I would be so busy wanting to watch the next pitch. And
so we joked about, like, we would have the lowest beer or hot dog sales because everything would be, like warm or not as warm
yeah.
as you want, because you're like, yeah, hold on one second.
And that's the, like, that definitely is, that is the vibe that you're getting, Kevin. I think you depicted that perfectly, is they're all rejuvenated, too, by this young group. These guys that are kind of replacing the stars and doing that because it's fun baseball again. Kevin, I'm watching Adolis Garcia run. He looked good jogging in the outfield.
He did.
And then I watched him run the bases just
how
now,
was
too.
That?
He was rounding first. So he looked pretty good. I think we're on track, dude. I think we're on track to have him back when you think he's coming back. So,
which is this weekend against the Mets.
I wanted to see him a little more full speed because he was in stride, but not. It didn't feel like full speed. But Adolis Garcia's he's working his way back, man. I'm expecting it soon.
That is one of the things that I love about our fans and the listeners, that if you miss anything, you can help supplement. That's why you got to turn it on, leave it on, because somebody goes, hey, I heard Adolis might be back next weekend. I was like, try this weekend.
Yeah, listen to Boach.
That's what Boach told us about an hour and a half ago.
That's
so
my manager.
Obviously, that was really exciting.
Now, I guess Tim and Gavin are my manager, but that's my
true.
Baseball manager.
That is true.
Yeah.
Now, we had asked Alec Medford for Giants highlights from week one, and he said no such audio exists, and the Giants had zero highlights. Alec, you'll back me up on that, right? No such audio exists of a Giant highlight from week one, right?
Dude, they stink.
See?
They're not great.
I told you.
They're not great at the game of football. Now, I will say this, and I'm going to talk to Mickey about this a little bit tomorrow, Kevin. One of the things is their front seven's very good.
That is
Brian
fair.
Burns. You asked the other day who I'd move off or whatever. I have to go back to Brian Burns. That dude's going to get after you. But I do think that their secondary is susceptible. And if that's susceptible and your offense isn't effective, that puts you in a bad hole no matter how good your front seven is. So that's where the Cowboys, we might see more Pickens. We might see more CeeDee Lamb get his redemption game.
Am I remembering this correctly? Did the Giants look at Adoree Jackson and they were like, we have to do better than that? And you just saw how the Cowboys were in position to really go after him in week one. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, I like the idea that the Giants are like, whoa, we had him too. That didn't really work out. So we have to try and get better. Now, there's a couple of things. It just depends on, you know how we talked about earlier, and we asked Boach, like, one of the things that's been a hallmark of this Rangers team in the last month has been the ability to bounce back and bounce back strong from a loss. So I'm going to throw out a quote for you from the Giants. And I think the big thing that's going to determine not only this week for the Giants, but maybe the rest of the season for the Giants. So Jermaine Elmenor, the right tackle, said, "We have to be urgent. If we let this linger like we did last year, we're going to be 3-14 again. And I'll be damn sure I'm not going to accept that." So even though it's just been one game, you see the setup from the Giants. They realize that, like, and I know they didn't lose by 40 points or anything, but that game never felt like it was particularly up for grabs after the first quarter. And so here's one of their players already saying, if we let this linger and continue on the same trajectory as last year, our team's going to suck.
Yeah, and
I'm paraphrasing with that.
You know, that's the other thing there is, this is very similar to the Miami Dolphins situation where you're with Mike McDaniel. Okay, we believe so far with you.
Yeah.
And while I still think that Brian Daboll's a good coach, maybe he's going to be a good offensive coordinator for somebody down the road. I thought that because of the people he'd been around, Sean McDermott, Nick Saban, just being in the places that he'd been, I thought he's going to be able to organize. In the first year, they did. You know, that first year, they looked like, man, they got it figured out. But whenever that room starts to lose faith in that coaching staff, okay, you've made quarterback changes, and that hasn't done it. And now we got this rookie that we're kind of waiting on. How long are you going to wait? Why are you waiting so long? Where is the room? I think that's the thing right there that is the biggest factor, Kevin, is can Daboll keep that room any further than that? And I don't know if he can, because their faith has got to be, what have you done for us, man?
Yeah.
What have you done for us other than have us having jobs?
I believe since the opening, because we've talked a lot about his job instability, since his first season with the Giants, which really took the NFL by storm, I believe they're 9-25 since then.
Gross.
Yeah.
That's bad.
But, yes.
And not many coaches would continue to have jobs there. I think the Giants front office recognized, look, we didn't do him justice, and their offensive line's still garbage. Like, they did nothing to solve that problem. But I think their front office was like, we didn't do him justice by giving him Daniel Jones and a trash offensive line to start his career. Let's give him a little extra time. And so far, they still haven't done the things they needed to fix that either.
All right. I am so glad that you phrased it like that. Because I know for the last couple of days, we've been dunking on Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of that's his own fault for the Mr. Unlimited and everything, and you just might be more inclined to try to make a run
right
at that particular player. But consider this. Russell Wilson, his completion percentage versus expected completion percentage, it was -12.7%. So they're like, this is what we think. He was significantly worse.
His real completion percentage
was 12.7% worse than expected. That's the fifth worst mark for Russell Wilson's career since 2016. So in the last 9 years, that's the fifth worst. Now, to your point, and that's why I wanted to transition over to this, is that all on him? Certainly not. Is it mostly on him, or is it a combination with a still struggling offensive line, and you can't blame it on them? Thank you very much. That is people I've been listening for a long time. So, like, how do you break up that blame?
Yeah.
And if it's on the offensive line, great, because hopefully you can still take advantage of that this weekend.
I think you you put about 45% on the offensive line and 65% on him.
That does not add up to
110%,
Kevin,
okay. Is what we're dealing with
right
here. But seriously, I think you've watched him for the last few years,
yes,
in Denver be,
yes,
indecisive.
Yes.
Almost boring offense. He didn't know what he wanted to do. He didn't trust anything downfield. And he still throws a great moon ball. Sometimes it ends up in other teams' hands. But he just has, even in Pittsburgh last year, he still looks like, I'm indecisive. Mickey said this morning, and he's so right. He does not care about second. Once he feels pressure, he's gone.
Yeah.
And many years ago, we started saying this about Eli Manning. Whenever you're ducking and throwing, you're done.
Yeah.
And whenever you decide, you know what, I got to bail on first one, that's the pros don't do that. The elite top quarterbacks in the league, they stay in the pocket, they find the receiver, or they check out of it. They dump down. Whatever it is, they got to get the ball to the next play. But Russell Wilson doesn't do that. He's like, I'll extend this, and sometimes it doesn't work out for him. So I do – the offensive line's not good. It's not giving him time. But you know what, Kevin? I think that if he even had – in times that he does have time, he's very indecisive still, and that's a benefit to the Cowboys.
And the receivers, we saw what that looked like with Malik Nabers with the towel over his head, but I'm going to try not to bog people down with numbers too much. So I told you that he's 13% below his expected completion percentage. His completion percentage was 46%. That means even optimized 59% completion percentage, which back in the day, you'd have been like, oh, yeah, good job.
I think even CeeDee Lamb had a better reception percentage than that.
Okay, because now you're like, I need it to be 63 to 65. I would love it to be in the upper. So even where it was expected to be was not up to par, not to mention how much below par he played.
You know what's so wild about what you just said, because I don't know what Troy Aikman's career completion percentage is.
Sure, and it's going to look bad compared to modern.
But you just pointed out, you want nowadays 65-70% is the expected thing with guys like Burrow and, you know, these great quarterbacks. Sure. And you're like, and they're throwing it 10 times more, like not like 10 more attempts.
Right.
20 more attempts than they even threw back in those days, and the numbers are expected to be that much more pristine. That's wild to me that the expectation is that, because you'd think, okay, you throw it more, it's fine to have, you know, a lower percentage. Coaches are like, no, these need to be high percentage things because the offense, the game benefits the offense, and we give up run game for passing. So we expect the run. If you're not going to get the yardage with the run, you better be getting the completions with the pass.
Look, Dallas has historically had recently had a lot of success over the Giants. They've beaten them 8 consecutive times. That's the longest active winning streak by any NFL team versus a divisional opponent, and tied for the longest of any team versus another team in the NFL. Now, you can, if you want to counter with, that's great, this is a different team and you're playing a different team, that's fair. I just wanted to throw out that is a pretty solid trend right there that Dallas beats the Giants.
Well, and you say a different team. I mean, it is the same coach right now.
Or sure.
Like for a few years. And I think when it comes to like the philosophy of a coaching staff, Kevin, oftentimes they really only can get you so far. They can only be so creative. They only know so much. And whenever they're struggling like this, that continues. You know, like that thing just keeps rolling. So like why you said, it might be a different group. The philosophy in the building is what it is. I mean, go look at the Cowboys for the last 30 years. The philosophy in the room, we feel like the philosophy has not been disciplined enough. We're hoping right now that Brian Schottenheimer has more disciplined bunch and that can withstand what we all think the organization represents and creates roadblocks for, right?
Look, and you mentioned Brian Burns. Obviously, the day before, we talked quite a bit about Kayvon Thibodeau. Bobby Okereke had a really standout game. And even when the secondary struggled, Drew Phillips was hanging in there. So we could dive more into tomorrow. There are some matchups in particular, positionally wise, that are still concerning. So while this is a Giants team that's reeling, let's not pretend that the Cowboys aren't 0-1.
They got work to do.
Yeah.
They got work to do right now.
We will dive into that a little bit more tomorrow. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and we're live at Globe Life Field. So coming up next, we'll move into the expressway. We'll do some NFL overreaction or reality, but we will also do some baseball nuggets. Who is the most exciting player in all of Major League Baseball? All of that coming at you next right here on The Fan.
1-2. Swung on and drilled to right center, a base hit. In to score is Langford. Higashioka turns. He's heading for second base. Here's the throw. He slides. He's safe. It's 5-3 Texas in the fifth.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Globe Life Field getting you ready for Rangers and Brewers right here on 105.3 The Fan. The Rangers have already won the first two games of this series, looking to close out the sweep with Milwaukee, which does have the best record in baseball. So I'm excited to see if they can get the sweep. Game starts at 1:35, pregame 1 o'clock, all on your home of the Texas Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. We will get to baseball nuggets in just a minute, but first to Corey.
This is baseball nuggety.
Okay.
Does it feel weird to say Rangers Brewers?
Yes.
Because I don't feel like we play them a lot.
For sure.
And so, like, even the history of us being, you know, kids and Rangers fans, I don't feel like we ran across them that often either. So it is a little weird to see all these Brewers jerseys around here because other than Bob Uecker, you know, we all love the great Bob Uecker.
Sure.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But other than that, like, I just didn't know a lot about the Brewers. Robin Yount, Paul Molitor, you know, you had those back in the day. But it just feels weird to say Rangers and Brewers, even though we've been in this interleague stuff for quite some time.
Yeah, no,
interleague.
You know, it's funny that you say that because, like, next weekend you've got the Marlins. And that's another one that I don't really think, like, hey, are you jazzed up for the Rangers-Marlins game? You're right.
Some people can definitely love the Rangers-Marlins, though.
Hey, absolutely.
If that's what they want to love.
Yes, and I understand the evolving nature of all sports, but it's just like the same thing when I said I get mad when another team gets to fourth down and doesn't punt it. I realize that's not really the way that sport goes anymore, but I've got some NFL overreaction or reality for both of you gentlemen before we get to baseball nuggets. Are you ready?
Alec?
I suppose.
Okay, well, that is not the kind of enthusiasm
I can be prepared.
All right, great.
I can be swayed.
Well, let's see if Ruben wants to get in on this. Overreaction or reality, the Dallas Cowboys are going to be just as physical as we hope this season. Now, I realize you only have one game to judge from, but we talked a lot about physicality leading into it. So, do you think the Cowboys will be just as physical as we had hoped?
They looked like a physical bunch on Thursday. They looked like they were prepared to match the physicality that Philadelphia had. Obviously, whenever it happened, I was like, man, I'm so happy that Jalen Carter isn't here. Now I kind of want to know, you know, what that would have looked like, because maybe my thoughts are a little bit different had he been there. But offensive line looked like they were capable of manhandling, all right? They looked like they were capable of that. The defensive front, they were physical enough, but they have to ramp it up more. Like, that's their speed, their quickness, everything has to be just a click faster and a click stronger. But I think that this team definitely can do it. There's Miss Dawn right there. She brought the broom.
She brought her broom
to the stadium today, and
she
we got to love
what's
that
about
one.
To happen.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. Let's get that sweep today, baby. So I do think that they can be.
All right, Alec, overreaction or reality? This Dallas Cowboys team is going to be just as physical as we had hoped.
I'll go reality. It doesn't exactly mean it's going to translate into anything per se, but it's at least going to be promising that, you know, they are setting out to do what they said they were going to do, because you heard about that all throughout training camp. Every presser that we aired on this station was, we want to maintain a certain level of physicality within confines of the CBA, because, you know, practice isn't what it used to be. But, you know, in game, it looks like it translated well. It looked like everybody was playing aggressive. And I think Corey hit the nail on the head, as he usually does, with the offensive line. Like, I thought the offensive line was where I noticed a big difference right off the rip. It seemed like everybody was ready to play. It seemed like the running game was working at times because guys were just, you know, getting their hands a little bit dirty. So, yeah, I do think that can be a reality.
NFL overreaction or reality, you were able to power through the one whole minute of commercials and still enjoy Red Zone. Man, because people complained about that so much. It was 1 minute of commercials.
I don't think I even noticed.
I'll see.
Like, I really do. I think
they did it in 15-second bursts.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So hold on. Is that going to be a more frequent thing then? Or was this a...
I believe that was a test case. And from the feedback they got, they might have determined that 1 minute was the best they could do for now. I mean, as far as I understand.
One of the things I've always loved is it just goes. You know, yeah. Red zone just goes right around 1 o'clock, right around, 1:30, 2 o'clock. We're getting the witching hour because this is when wins become losses and losses become wins. I made it through, though, Kevin, but it just didn't feel like that much of an invasion for me.
Okay. Alec?
It's got to get to an egregious point for me to care. Like, it's just like the same conversation in combat sports on the mat, having sponsors all over it. I don't care. It doesn't make a difference to me because the product at the end of the day is still the same. And 1 minute of commercials and just little mid-roll ads, that's not going to hurt me. And like Corey said, I didn't even really notice it until I saw the tweets afterwards where people were like, hey, it was 60 seconds of ads. I was like, oh, really? It felt like 30 to me. Like it was barely noticeable. So, no, it does not matter.
Because as soon as we heard about this for the first time, you would have thought that the worst atrocity in the history of humanity had happened with this. And then it turned out, hey, not so bad. All right, so this one's a little tricky, and maybe you don't think it's really NFL, and I can understand that. But I'm going to give it a shot nonetheless. NFL overreaction or reality? Bill Belichick is tarnishing his legacy.
By going to UNC
It's up for debate whether it's being the granddaughter dater or whether it's potential failure at the college level. I'll leave that up to your own interpretation.
I don't know what his plan is, because if his plan is beyond right now and he's like, no, like we're going to build this program over a 5-year period and it's just we kind of know like it's going to take time to recruit. I'm going to need a little more money to make this happen. I don't think he's tarnishing it, but if it continues this way, it will be. But you can't take away what he accomplished in the NFL. That
no,
is one
right.
thing that he can always stand on. People will always fight then if he doesn't accomplish anything more. Oh, it was obviously Tom Brady.
Also just feels like he's been involved in a bunch of petty nonsense now.
That is when he just stayed out of everything completely.
Miami.
Yeah, you got a really good point there because, he was able to keep the focus on the thing, and that was football. And now it seems like he's gotten real lax with that. So, yeah, I think you got a good point there because his legacy was stoic, discipline, all those things that you recognize Tom Landry for. You recognized him for that. And with these little things, they don't serve well for him.
Alec, what say you about the legacy?
I'm going to say reality in a weird way because it's
tricky.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with his accolades and his past and everything. It's just I'm not used to seeing him in the public eye this much. And it's for all of the wrong reasons. Not like it's bad, but like it's not because he's winning games. It's not because he's running really tough practices. It's because of his girlfriend and him banning Patriots scouts from practice because he has beef with the Kraft family. Like it's all stuff that's not football. So if we take all of the extracurriculars away from it, he's still Bill Belichick to me, but because I never had expectations of him going out there and winning 11 games in his first year as a college head coach.
Sure.
You know, like I knew it was going to be a rough start. I knew he was going to have to build a program, but now it's just all the other conversation around him. And like you said, the petty stuff, like, it's just irritating to me because now he's Bill Belichick, the media sensation and the hotshot talking point rather than the dominant coach.
Did you see what I thought was a pretty good takedown by Mike Vrabel? And he goes, didn't he come back for the Tom Brady dedication? So it doesn't feel like he's banned.
Yeah.
I just thought I was like, oh,
you know,
ouch.
But even still, Kevin, they don't want him there watching practices, trying to steal their players, obviously.
All right. So for this next one.
He can't steal their players. They're already out of college, Kevin.
We'll see. NILs are always evolving. So Mike McDaniel said that the struggles for this team can't get any worse after miserable loss to the Colts. Overreaction or reality? Mike McDaniel is wrong, and things can still get worse for the Dolphins. I think I'm a reality on this one.
Yeah, I think it's a reality. The level of low he feels right now is probably as low as he's ever felt. And so that's what he's saying is I feel as terrible after starting a season as I've ever experienced as a head coach, coordinator, all these things. So I totally understand what he's saying there. But, man, if you don't get everybody pulling on the rope together soon, that thing will look a lot worse and you won't be there.
Right.
So, yes, it absolutely can get worse for them.
Alec, what say you? Despite what Mike McDaniel thinks, overreaction or reality, things can still get worse for the Dolphins.
Things can still get worse because you know what's a lot worse than one ugly loss? Two ugly losses. You know what's worse than that? Four ugly losses. If he continues to lose games where it just looks like they never had any fight or any reason to be in that game, it's going to get worse. The noise is going to get louder. There's going to be more planes with banners asking for his firing for $900 off a GoFundMe. Like, all of that stuff is just going to ramp up. It's on a multiplier every time they lose. So it can get worse. It will get worse, and it's going to cost him his job.
Now, I'm really excited to get y'all and the people's feedback on this on Twitch, on YouTube, Frankel and Frankel, Injury Attorney Text Line. So Baker Mayfield was talking about how he isn't a fan of the night games and the later games. Now, he actually meant
he
that.
He isn't a fan?
He is not a fan. But he meant more from a perspective of, he's like, I have studied everything to see. Like, I don't want to watch more tape. I have learned what I need to learn. I want to go play the game. So from a fan perspective, overreaction or reality, you prefer when your team plays during the day as opposed to at night. So like that noon or 3:25 window as opposed
to... I've always been a huge fan of the noon game because you can get it out of the way quickly. My team's playing now. Kick off, you know, the excitement.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Leading up to kickoff, you wake up in the morning and you know first kickoff is your team, so that excitement is there. You can watch a few hours of other football and you're just like, oh man, do I really want to watch my team go into this? So I love the noon game more than I do any other game. I do enjoy the spotlight of a Monday night football game and a Sunday night because you're the only show.
That's true.
I do enjoy that, but there's something about getting my day started so quickly with the noon game. I don't like the 3 o'clock game at all.
Now,
never
Alec,
have.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond, but first, Corey, can you tell me what the sign was that you just saw?
I didn't. I'm sorry. I was
you
looking
didn't see
at
that sign?
I saw the sign, but I also was looking at something else at the same time. So there were multiple things I was trying to. Kevin, I get distracted when we get out here, because there are distractions all over the place.
Overreaction or reality, it's disrespectful by Corey to not see that lady sign that said it was her 90th birthday.
That's very disrespectful.
Happy 90th. Jeez.
It's too late, Corey.
Happy 90th, old lady. That's good.
Alec, don't let this fool talk. He didn't even see that sign.
She was cruising, man. She was walking great for a 90-year-old.
All right.
She looked like she might have been 22.
Oh, my God. Alec, as far as the football as far as the football question goes, overreaction reality, you like it when your team plays in the daytime as opposed to the nighttime.
Absolute reality. I love the spotlight of the national primetime game, but I've got a life. And, you know, I got to early wake up that next morning to get in here and get ready for a post, you know, football Monday show. So it's like, personally, I'd like to get that out of the way so I can kind of be on cruise control the rest of the day and just enjoy the other games rather than have the anticipation of, okay, I need to be locked in on this game. I'm excited about this game. Watch my team play, take my notes and everything. I don't want to worry about that post 3 o'clock. I really don't. So, and the fact that I have that buffer, if you have the noon game in between, you know, the game ending and dinner time, you can go be productive. You can go do whatever, or you could just be lazy and watch the 3 o'clock games. Mm. You know, I just love having the flexibility on a Sunday. So yeah, I'm a big fan of the noon game.
Bonus overreaction or reality, Kevin. When your team loses the noon game, you don't care about football the rest of the day.
So I'm not going to go all the way and say I don't care, but I don't care as much for sure, because I'm like, Oh, yeah, guess what? That team's better than us. That team losing's also better than us. Yeah. Whereas opposed to, like, there's just such an unearned sense of self at times when you're like, oh, good for, like, if you move the game, oh, good for you, Green Bay and Washington, we would dust both of y'all. Like, I realize that that's not necessarily reality.
Yeah, there
reality.
Is. There's a superiority that you get from it, yeah.
So I think that is definitely a fair point. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Alec, could you give me cut number 7, please?
Judge hammers that in the air. High and deep to left center. And there is number 358. Yogi has some company as Aaron Judge has broken into the top 5 in Yankees history.
And Aaron Judge has now surpassed Yogi Berra. And right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Now, ESPN had an interesting, yet I will argue, somewhat fraudulent bracket that they put together. It's for the most exciting player in baseball.
Okay.
The number one seeds, Bobby Witt Jr. and Ellie De La Cruz. Does that feel right to you?
I mean, it's pretty accurate.
Is it?
Because they get so much activity at the position in the field. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because, like, dude, if it's a right fielder, that dude might get the ball, you know, hit to him a couple times. You're probably going to get about 8, maybe, during a game for a shortstop where he's involved in a play and has more of an opportunity to make a very exciting play from the position. So I think that's accurate because of that. Now, preseason, I would have put those two at the top of the list, too, because we were all anticipating huge seasons from both of those guys. But I would say that they're pretty responsible for it. However, I think Shohei and Judge being MVP candidates are definitely the ones that people key in on.
Yeah, I'm glad that you said that. So Kyle Schwarber, for example, who...
Love Kyle Schwarber,
he
dude. He's at the plate every time something big's happening in baseball.
And he just got his 50th home run. He's a 3-seed.
Oh, he finally hit another one, huh?
Yes, he did. But does this feel disingenuous? Aaron Judge is a number 4 seed in the American League, and Shohei Ohtani is a number 5 seed in the National League.
Aaron Judge is not a great outfielder. He's,
oh, for
but
sure.
he's probably playing out of position too in their outfield a lot of times. But he's a decent. He was probably better served at first base in the future for his career. But as a hitter, he's the most electric hitter in right there next to Nick Kurtz and Ohtani. Those three are electric hitters. So I understand what you're saying. Aaron Judge does not need to be 4. I agree.
Who is the most exciting player on the Rangers? And then I'm going to tell you how this shook out.
Most exciting on the Rangers right now, it's Hellman.
That's true.
But,
that's true.
I would probably say, this is weird for me, Nathan Eovaldi.
Okay.
Do I need to go to the field for this? Because
no.
That's my dude.
Well, so kind of in that vein, well, definitely in that vein, Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, that would be another option.
Was the number 8 seed.
I have some personal vendettas with Jacob DeGrom, though.
Oh, because
being so tall.
Look, I respected him this past year when he didn't give me an excuse. I just said, do you have time for an I said, could you do an interview right now? And he said, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
And then he sat down and played on his phone. I like, oddly respect that he didn't give me a fake excuse. He goes, no. And so he matched up with Jose Ramirez in the first round, all right? And he lost.
Oh.
So, but I already told you part of this, I think, is a farce. Strictly,
throw a couple noter hitters in there, and that would have changed everybody's
mind. I mean,
mind.
You're probably right. Strictly from the seeding perspective. So now you heard all of that. We go all the way down. And it's Tarek Skubal against Aaron Judge as the finals for the American League. Hey, guess what? Aaron Judge won. And then in the National League, it's Shohei Ohtani against Juan Soto. Oh, hey, guess what? Shohei Ohtani won. So we do all of this farcical seeding.
Just to get the lower seeds higher up.
To get Aaron Judge against Shohei Ohtani.
Nice move,
in
guys.
The championship.
I'm
so
proud of that.
I mean, I guess, but Alec, can you go ahead and play me number six, because this was the winner for the most exciting player in baseball.
Ohtani in the driver's seat. 3-1, a rocket to right field. This ball is gone! That is home run number 100 as a Dodger for Shohei Ohtani.
Now,
so it was Ohtani?
Yeah, and so, look, I love the concept. I just don't understand why we needed to pretend on the seedings just so we could get to Aaron Judge versus Shohei Ohtani with Shohei Ohtani as the winner. It's okay to say Bobby Witt and Ellie De La Cruz are both the number two seeds because they are both incredibly exciting.
Yeah, well, they didn't want to rank them the way they were going to ultimately be ranked. You know, the seeding, it wasn't a ranking, Kevin. It was just they seeded it a certain way.
Okay.
You know, the tournament does that sometimes. They'll put some random team at five that you're like, hold on, what are you doing right now? And they're like, because we really want a five seed to be in the final four.
Actually, there have been some times that I've been like, what are we doing with this? All right, let's move on to some other stories. And now this one is unfortunate. We talked about it a lot. At the time, Wander Franco was found guilty. He was given, now this happened a while back, he was given 2 years of a suspended sentence, and he was detained by police on Tuesday and admitted into a clinic in the Dominican Republic for mental health issues, according to authorities. And that's one of the things, when you hear detained and then taken to a mental health clinic, it makes it sound like it was not necessarily his choice.
Yeah, it didn't sound voluntary.
But I can see how somebody, especially when they were found guilty of this, can carry a heavy, heavy burden around with them.
Oh, no, absolutely, man. This
and apparently rightfully so.
Yeah. Things right now aren't easy for him at all. And, you know, the other part of, you know, what he did, well, the gigantic fall, the life he could have lived,
for sure,
is what he's probably thinking about so much. The life that I could have lived as a professional baseball player with all the money, like all those things are probably constantly going through his mind, and that can drive you nuts.
Yeah, I am still baffled by the decision of, no, we think you were guilty, even if you were deceived, but we're going to give you a delayed prison sentence.
Yeah.
You can just be out and about right now. That feels like that just doesn't square up with the decision one way or another. All right. I've got some injury updates for you. Bo Bichette, who we talked about, has been having a huge comeback here for the Blue Jays. He did go on the 10-day IL.
Oh, no, he won't be the hits leader. Him and Trey Turner having some injury stuff at the end of the season when they were the hits leaders.
Okay, and then you look at Kyle Tucker with the Cubs. They're in the midst of their own playoff race. He goes on the injured list. And then, go ahead.
I got a question about Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
If he's a free agent this offseason, would you be willing to kick the tires on him and have a conversation?
I would. I just don't know. It doesn't feel like there's going to be a lot of financial flexibility there. And, like, by the way, we're still having debates about where exactly the Rangers sit with that financial apron right now, because there's discussion about, like, hey, they want Tyler Malley back because he could help get him to the playoffs. Hey, do they need for him to not pitch so they don't go over that threshold? And then there's other people who are like, no, they're over the threshold. And then we've gotten some vague answers from some of the people that would have the answer. So I just don't know what their financial flex is going to look
like. Gotcha. I understand that.
And then I know, like, we're probably not going to shed a tear for the Astros or anything like that, and they've had plenty of their own injury woes this year, but Luis Garcia, second start after a two-year absence, he left the game early because of a sore right elbow. I mean, look, obviously I am not a doctor, nor do I have anything close to the qualifications to make such statements, but that feels pretty devastating.
You know, you just said 2 years. You go through all of that work, you go through all of that, you know, sacrifice to get to that point, and then you get your first opportunity to do it, and then you're like, crud. It's just not in the cards. Again, that goes to the idea we were talking about with Franco. You're thinking about all the life that you could have,
right,
the enjoyment you get, because you like being around the clubhouse, you like being part of this thing, but that then you start going, is it worth it to go through this again? And, like, you know, we saw Derek do that a number of times, right? Where he's like, I'm still fighting. And in our minds, you're kind of like, good for you, dude. Like, yes. This is like, I'm, oh, why? And he's like, because I love this game. And that's what it is. And that, but it does make you think, how many more times can you, are you willing to go through that?
Yeah, I don't know. You have to wonder if this is going to end up being the end of the line. All right, couple more quick things for you. Then I want to get your prediction for the Rangers today. So Brandon Bedoy, he is AAA Indianapolis. He's from Australia. He was not a heralded prospect whatsoever. I believe it's in Pittsburgh's system. He has not given up a hit for 64 straight batters.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It is awesome.
What a streak. When do you get into a streak and you're like, it starts to weigh on you? Something like that. Like, how far into something like that do you get where you're just like, okay, and you start thinking about it? Because I bet he's not thinking about it at all. And then all of a sudden somebody goes, by the way, dude, it's been like 40 batters. And he's like, oh, crap.
And it's been 6 weeks since he's given up a hit.
That's a long time.
But I bet for him, he's thinking like, this is my ticket to get called up, as opposed to focusing
just
in on
the streak. Just keep cruising with this.
And then this feels impossible to me. And I need to go back and figure out how this was not back-to-back doubleheaders, though I guess I can figure it out. Do you know, what do you think is the MLB record for most consecutive hitless innings?
Most consecutive hitless innings, 61.
What?
I don't know.
24 by Cy Young.
Of course.
Now, again, because this is like...
24, that's it?
24 straight hitless innings is not impressive to you?
I don't know, man. I feel like relief pitchers probably been, you know, should be rolling out there getting a lot more.
All right, so just know, Rangers relievers, every time you give up a hit, Corey thinks...
Your job is to be out there and not give up hits. Like, that's your... And I know, like, Boats, you'd be like, Corey, what are you talking about right now? But, hey, man, maybe there's that one... What did Zimmer do? Or was it Zimmerman that he did back in the day that was so impressive? He had so many, like a bunch of innings in a row where he didn't give up a run. That's what it was.
Yes.
It was 61 innings or something
and
like
this
that.
This is not a
gotcha,
hit.
Gotcha.
All right. And then, by the way, shout out to High A West Michigan. They finished the minor league season 92-39.
Wow.
That was the best minor league record since 1997. So shout out to them for doing some good stuff. All right. Real quick, Corey. Rangers get the sweep today?
They get the sweep today, dude. This is the one. We got the right guy on the hill. He's going to give you probably 6.5 scoreless innings. They're going to roll out there and get a win.
There you go. Corey calling for the sweep. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Pregame coming up next. First pitch at 1:35. We'll be back in studio tomorrow for an entire show, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.